I want to begin with a few words. Many of you have heard it before, but some have not. So bear with me. Lon and I were ordained 43 years ago. We have 4 children and have served several churches. But in January of 2021, it was discovered that I had a large brain tumor. A craniotomy was performed and the tumor was removed. But due to complications, 2 other surgeries were done that same March and May. Sadly, I had a stroke during my last craniotomy. When I woke up, I was unable to talk or walk or use my right arm or hand. So Lon and I retired from ministry. In the 5 years since then, I've been making slow progress with rehab, my family and friends, and with God's grace. Unrelated to this, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in June of 2023, and a mastectomy was done. Through it all, and in spite of it all, the stroke is the most challenging thing I face. I miss using my hand, but most importantly, I miss speaking as easily and fluently as I did in the past. Thanks for putting up with my slow words. But apparently, God is not done with me yet. Now, on to the sermon for this morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last weekend, we and millions of Christians around the world celebrated Easter, the crown of the church year. After all the excitement of Easter, the Sunday after Easter is kind of a letdown. Pastors call it Low Sunday. Attendance is low. Pastors and church staff are exhausted after the Holy Week services. The mood is rather glum. After all, what is left to do after all the joy of Easter? Well, there's plenty to do. Or to put it in a different way, God wants to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Every time we gather for worship, the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection rings out again. It's not all over since Easter is over. The season of Easter lasts 50 days. The church year reminds us of this. But our text from Acts chapter 2 seems disconnected to the Easter story. So let me ask you some questions. I want you to answer them, okay? Other than Christmas and Easter, what other major church festival occurs every year? Pentecost. Very, very good. What, when do we celebrate it? I already said this. 50 days after Easter. What chapter of the Bible tells us about Pentecost? The pastors know the answer. Acts 2. Our gospel text takes place on Easter Day, But our first lesson is from Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. The word for this, if I can say it right, is discombobulated. That was a hard word for me to say. Actually, it makes perfect sense. In the evening of Easter day, the disciples were timid and afraid. They were hiding behind a locked door. They could barely believe that Jesus was truly alive. 40 days later, Jesus ascended to heaven. 10 days after that, the day of Pentecost had come. The disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly, a mighty rush of wind blew around them. The Holy Spirit filled them and breathed life into them. It blew them out of the upper room and onto the street to tell the world about Jesus. What followed was Peter's first post-Easter sermon. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He preached about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. He proclaimed the truth of God's promise for them and all the world. He told them that this was according to God's plan of salvation. But Peter does not skim over the truth of Jesus' death. He says, "You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law." We need to pause here and ask what this means. Who was outside the law? Who killed Jesus? It's easy for us to pass the buck. We are quick in pointing to Judas, who betrayed him, or Peter, who denied him, or Pontius Pilate, who handed him over, or the Roman soldier who drove the nails into Jesus' hands and feet. We point to the Jews, we point to the Romans, we point to everyone else. This is the question: who is responsible for Jesus' death? I am. You are. The wages of sin is death. On Ash Wednesday, the truth of God's righteous verdicts hits us right between the eyes. Remember that you are dust, and to the dust you shall return. Peter's grim words tells us that we are outside the law when it comes to a holy and righteous God. And the word of God has begun its work. As a child, I can remember a Good Friday service in which the pastor played the part of Pilate. He asked the congregation who should be released from death. Together, we were all to cry out, "Barabbas!" We were asked, "What am I to do with Jesus?" And the congregation shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" I cringed and shuddered, hearing those hateful words all around me. I wanted no part in this congregational drama. "Why do you have to say it?" I asked my mom. "Because we were there," she told me. all of us, because of our sin, have crucified Jesus. And so, from a very young age, my parents and my congregation taught me an important truth during the season of Lent. I was part of the cast. I was responsible for Jesus' death. Jesus died because of me, and Jesus died for me. But the story does not end here. The good news of the gospel takes over. Jesus said it like this: "Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus' death and resurrection go together. This is the means by which the world is saved. God, raise him up. And so, Peter quotes David in Psalm 16. "He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. Hades is a metaphor for death. He died and was buried, but it was impossible for Christ to be held in death's power. What Peter is doing, unbeknownst to him, is giving the very first creed. We say it like this: He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
God, raise him up. The resurrection of Jesus involves not just his soul or his spirit, but his flesh and bones. David foretold it, but Peter and the other disciples were eyewitnesses of it. "You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." If you came here today thinking Easter was last week, you are mistaken. Easter is continued even as we, like the disciples that Easter evening, are crushed by guilt or grief. When tragedy strikes, when sickness comes, when loved ones die, when all hope is lost, Jesus comes, and it is Easter again. In the water and in the word, God has pulled you out of death into life. That is why we can be people of life and hope. Imagine that, anointed by the Spirit, his fearful band of disciples is sent by Jesus to join in his mission. Our world desperately needs God's forgiveness, mercy, and grace. The risen Christ stands before us, breathing into us the life, the power, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The triune God comes to us in a splash of water, in a piece of bread, in a sip of wine. Just as Jesus sent the disciples, he sends us. We are sent to live and love because Jesus lives and loves through us. Like Peter, we have good news to share. Because of Holy Week and Easter, we can say, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. And as long as I am able, I will keep preaching the good news. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My flesh will live in hope. Amen.